Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. We're going to kind of clean some things up from last week. I'm really thrilled that everyone is here. I thought we'd maybe have two or three people here tonight because of the storm and everything. And then we end up having guests and visitors, which I'm very excited to have. And this is a terrible way to start a Bible study, but I'm going to start with an apology because we're going to be talking about Tychicus and Aristarchus. And I'm amazed by these two individuals just because of going through study. I wasn't planning on getting into this. Every once in a while when you study, you know, you always learn things. Oh, yeah, I knew that, or you refine this. But sometimes you stumble on something that it's like, I didn't know this was here. I didn't realize. And I'm going to try to make a presentation. I tried to do a little bit of it last week as we finished the book of Colossians, and I felt like I did just a very sloppy job of it because I was trying to go through too much information, and I was making too many references. We're going to refer to Paul's missionary journeys. Here's the Mediterranean Sea. There's Asia. Here comes Greece right over here. Here's Corinth, and here's Athens over in here. Up in here is Thessalonica and Philippi, and then we'll put Ephesus here, and Colossae's going to be here. Here's Galatia over here. And, of course, he's coming out of Antioch. And to do what I'm going to do here this evening, we've got to kind of get a perspective on Paul's missionary trips and the events that took place. Like again, in Ephesus, he's going to be there for 3 years. It's going to end with a riot in the theater. He's going to come earlier on the second missionary journey. He's going to come down through Thessalonica. Some Jews are going to get saved. He's going to spend some time in Corinth, start a church there. All these things tie together. Ultimately, they're going to be collecting money. And one of the themes here tonight is collecting money. No, one of the themes is, what a great night to come to Bible study, is that Paul is collecting money from all of these Gentile churches to take down to Jerusalem, to the Jerusalem saints. And as we came through this last week, we were in Acts chapter 20, verse 4. And we saw a delegation of seven men, plus Paul. And it's just random names. These guys' names are mentioned. But the thing is, they just kind of pop up out of nowhere, but they're really not. These guys are, if I can present this correctly, this is almost putting these two individuals on the same status, at least Tychicus, the same status as Timothy and Titus. Because as you close down Paul's ministry in 2 Timothy, he's going to send the letter to Ephesus to Timothy. And Timothy is supposed to come meet him in prison over here in Rome. Rome's over here in Italy. You know, my map's not big enough. And in there he says, I'm sending Tychicus to Ephesus. In other words, Timothy is kind of the head of the... Timothy is one of the men that Paul drops off to kind of oversee the churches. He's not really a pastor, although he served as a pastor, I'm sure. He didn't have his own local Bible studies, but I'm sure he did some Bible teaching. By the time Paul gets this going, he's got Timothy overseeing the churches in Ephesus. It's not just one small home church of 10 people. There's probably, even in Colossae, in Laodicea, which is just north of Colossae, you know, just at an angle a couple miles. In Laodicea, there's already two churches there, we know from the closing of the letter of Colossae, or Colossians. And so they've already got two churches there. Timothy is overseeing this, the church in Ephesus. Tychicus is going to go there and replace him when Timothy comes to see Paul. Down in the Isle of Crete, when Paul drops Titus off there, it's not the book of Titus, he drops Titus off at Crete, he comes up to Corinth, writes a letter back, and is on his way to Nicopolis right over here on the coast of the Mediterranean, on the west side of Greece. And he says, soon as Tychicus or Artemis gets there, come catch up with me. So all the whole letter of Titus, what Titus is supposed to do in the book of Titus, is teach this and stop these people from teaching that and get this organized and appoint elders. Get control of not the church in a small city, but the church, the Christian organization on the Isle of Crete. And if you realize, again, if you read the book of Titus, these weren't Christian people. These were Gentile pagan Greeks on a Mediterranean island who had come into the faith. So they're coming out of pagan Gentile culture into the church of Jesus Christ. And it's not like they're going to sit in pews and sing hymns. I mean, they've never seen that before. And so he's establishing this church on Crete. And who's going to replace? Paul says, as soon as Tychicus or Artemis gets there, catch up with me. So all the job that Titus has to do on the Isle of Crete, Tychicus replaces him. So both Timothy and Titus were replaced by Tychicus at some time in the ministry. I'm saying this because I did not know this. You understand what I'm saying? This is not something I knew 2 weeks ago. I knew Tychicus is in the name, and Aristarchus, yeah, I'm trying to pronounce these names, and they're, you know. But as you begin to put this together, these guys were players. These are another set, like Timothy and Titus. This is Timothy and Titus again. And I think we ended last week just mentioning, there's got to be. If Tychicus was in Ephesus, and he was in many other places, and he's on the Isle of Crete, there has to be a letter that Paul was continually writing letters. We don't have all of Paul's letters. So there is a letter, I'm speculating, there is 1st and 2nd Tychicus somewhere. We don't have them, but he got letters from Paul, as did Aristarchus. I mean, Paul wrote these men letters, just like we've got 1st and 2nd. These are the ones that God has ordained for us to have. But I guess I was just amazed by this. I'm going to try to present that amazement to you and hope, it could be, this could go off the cliff real fast. You know, it's like, this is another map, another boring verse. Because these are not necessarily going to be the great exciting verses. These are going to be, the verses about say hi to so-and-so and make sure you bring my coat. And it's like, okay. Well, I'm going to pray and ask for help, and then we're going to get started. Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. We do thank you so much for the chance to look into your word again. We thank you for the things that you've recorded in Scripture. And I do ask that tonight you'd help me explain these things, that we'd make sense and make connections with this information. Again, Father, we do thank you for the inspiration we see and the direction you provide for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, that first page. Tychicus, I'm going to give you some information that's going to pop out of these verses. Tychicus is from Asia. So there's going to be two places. It's going to say Tychicus is from Asia. This is Asia right here. He is in the Western text. In the verse where it says he's from Asia, in the Western text, okay, Western text, it says that he is from Ephesus. So we've got down in here, as the Bible developed, it was copied from different places. And down from the south part here, it's the Alexandrian text. Over in this area, or especially up in here, you're going to have what the Greeks have, the Greek Orthodox, and it comes out of that area. But you've got the Byzantine text. As you move over towards Rome, you're going to have the Western text. And when you start comparing ancient manuscripts, they tend to fall into those three families. There may be a difference in this text, with this text, and with this text. It's all telling the same story. Textual criticism. It's all telling the same story, but there may be a different word at different places. And for example, in the Western, in the Byzantine and Alexandrian text, Tychicus is from Asia. In the Western text, he's from Ephesus in the same verse. I mean, that it's the same thing, but I mean, it's a little more detail. We don't know when Paul met him. We've got on this first map you see, this is Paul's second missionary journey. I don't have the first one on here. If you've got the 6 pages of notes, originally what I wanted, there's only 2 sets of those. My copier was going slow and the clock was ticking, so I didn't get around. But the back 2 pages are Paul's second, third missionary journey, and then his prison trip, and then a speculated journey where he went to Spain. And that's what these first 4 maps that we've got here are the same thing. I've just written over the top of them. Paul would have met Tychicus on that second missionary journey when he leaves Antioch and comes up to Troas and has the vision, comes over to Philippi, is put in prison. You're with me on this? Goes down to Thessalonica and is there for 3 Sabbaths, maybe 21 days, something like that. Has a problem with the Jews there. Now, what's important about Thessalonica is that is where Aristarchus comes from. There's no doubt. There's always doubt on some of these things. If it doesn't say it in text of Scripture, there's doubt. But as you put this story together, there's really no doubt that Aristarchus was here when Paul, on that second missionary journey, Paul's, Troas has the vision, is in prison in Philippi. He comes down and gets run out of town, goes to Berea, and has to get on the ship and sail down to Athens by himself. That is where Aristarchus comes from. Aristarchus is a Jew. He's identified in the text of Scripture as a Macedonian. But Paul identifies him at the end of Colossians, as we saw last week, as a Jew. He is one of 3 of the circumcision that is with Paul in that first imprisonment. So Aristarchus is a Jew. He is a Macedonian. meaning he is raised in Gentile territory, and he is from Thessalonica. This is Scripture indicates these things. Now, when Paul met him, I don't know, but they're going to meet. I would assume it's here. So like we said, in church, when we're talking in church on Sundays, we're going through the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians as we go through Acts. Whenever Paul writes a letter back, 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians, Aristarchus is one of those guys. When we talk about, you know, do not be concerned about the day of the Lord, you know, these things have to happen, or when he talk, whatever he's talking about, Aristarchus is one of those people receiving 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Okay? So Aristarchus is going to be with Paul during this time here. Paul comes down and is in Corinth. And from Corinth, he's going to sail to Jerusalem. But he's going to, on his way by, you can see right here, on that first map, it's Paul's second missionary journey. He's spent quite a bit of time in Corinth. Wrote 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And right after he sends 2 Thessalonians, he's going to sail across to Ephesus and just say hi. He doesn't start the church. He just enough to say, get in and meet everybody. And then he sails down to Jerusalem. Now, we know this is where he met Aristarchus, or that's what I'm saying. That's a good bet. That's where he met Aristarchus. This is his first chance to meet Tychicus right there at Ephesus on that first trip. So it could be 52 AD. Now, there's going to be a better time to meet him. Is going to be on this next missionary trip. This third missionary trip. Here you go. We're on this map, and then we're going to be on the next map. And then I ran out of copies for the next two maps. So that is that's what's on that first map. Basically, all that is saying on that first map is on that second missionary journey, he meets Aristarchus, probably, and could have met Tychicus. I don't know if that's a good idea or not. If you turn the next page, then, you're going to see the third missionary journey. And now, Paul is going to come across here on this third missionary journey. He's going to go right through the heartland here, come through Galatia. He's meeting with all the churches that he started there in Galatia. And he's going to come through the interior and come to Ephesus. And that is where he's going to spend 3 years. Now, for sure, he's going to meet Tychicus at this time. So Aristarchus, we're not sure where he's at right now, moving about with him, but we're going to pick Aristarchus up here on this map. For sure, they're going to make contact. So here we go. I'm going to read through these notes. This is what I'm going to try to clean up instead of just rambling. We're going to try to go through these notes right here on this map. Number one, I've got them numbered. You can see point one. You see that right? Ephesus. I've got a number by the city of Ephesus. Tychicus is with Paul in Ephesus while Paul spends 3 years there. I would like to go to Acts. Go to Acts right around Acts 19. And I kind of want to see. Go to Acts. Yeah, Acts 19 would be a good place to start. And Paul has come, and we're not going to read through all of these things, but I do want you to kind of, you know, see some of these things that are going on. Because Tychicus, the one who's going to be sent down eventually to Crete to replace Titus, is going to come back to Ephesus himself. He is going to be sent to Ephesus to replace Timothy. Tychicus is apparently, he's from Asia and most likely from Ephesus. He's getting saved. He's going to come into the faith probably during this time. And so with chapter 19 of Acts, it says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. Those are John. They've heard the message of John the Baptist that, you know, the Messiah is coming. Then he baptized them. They received the Holy Spirit. The key right here, if you look down into verse 9, he spends 3 months in the synagogue, but like always in the synagogue, they refuse. Some believe. I mean, that's the gospel. It's a sword. Jesus is a sword. It comes to the synagogue. Some believe and are going to go with Paul. Some reject it and say no, and they stay behind. And so he's there for 3 months until that becomes just like in Thessalonica. It went kind of fast in Thessalonica. It went just a couple Sabbaths. Corinth took a little bit longer, but there's always been division. And so after about 3 months, he leaves, and now here's where he goes. He took the disciples, I'm in the middle of verse 9, he took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. And this is, they find when you go through Ephesus, that Ephesus has been excavated, you find these types of halls, lecture halls, or places, or schools where people would meet. They have not identified this place, but It's there. I mean, it's clear. It's one of something like this. So this is not by any means a stretch. But he's going to spend, notice in verse 10, 2 years. And as you read through this, it goes on and says, so that all the Jews and Greeks who live in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Now, this is where your Colossians church starts. We just went through the book of Colossians. This is when that church starts. So the province of Asia is right here. They're not referring to all of Asia. They're referring to this province right here, the province of Asia, which would include Colossae, Laodicea, north of that, Hierapolis, many of the churches that are going to become John's churches of Revelation. But he's in there and he's preaching, teaching. Again, I don't want to say preaching. He's teaching for 2 years in the lecture hall. And it appears, as you read this, you know the story, it appears he's doing it during lunchtime. And Paul, well, let's read this. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. And so, again, it appears, when it mentions aprons, those are work belts. Those are tool belts. They're not like little kitchen aprons. Those are tool belts. So people are coming in during lunch, and he's teaching during the noon hour, when people are on lunch, and then they go back to work. And as they take their handkerchiefs, you know, and those handkerchiefs could be, you know, workman's handkerchiefs, not like doily little things, you know, you dab your nose with, but, you know, headbands you wipe the sweat off with. And they go back to work, and evil spirits would leave, and these things went back to the workplace or something. Well, then the whole reason I'm doing this is Tychicus is here for this event. They have some spiritual outbreaks there with some demonic activity. Some Jews try to imitate it, and they use the name of Jesus and Paul. Look in verse 21. After this had happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem. Now, that's what's left on that map. He's in Ephesus at point one there, and he's decided he's going to go to Jerusalem. Okay? He's going to go down to Jerusalem. But here's what he says. I'm in verse 21. He says, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. After I have been there, he said, I must visit Rome also. This is extending his ministry clear out to after this whole trip. So he's here in Ephesus. He says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and then I'm going to go to Rome. And you know what he wants to do when he gets to Rome? You know what happens in chapter 15 of Rome? He tells the Romans, I want to come to you so you can send me to Spain. But he said, I've got to go through Achaia. This would be Greece, and this would be Achaia. He wants to go back up to Philippi, Thessalonica, and down into Corinth, down here into Achaia. That's his plan. So, verse 22, he sent two of his helpers. This would be like guys like Tychicus and Aristarchus. These two guys are Timothy, we know him, and Erastus to Macedonia. Now, Erastus, we've talked about him before. That name may be familiar because Erastus, he's the public works director from Corinth who had come over from Corinth to visit Paul during this three-year time. Again, this is where I started rambling last week. I'm going to try to say it very carefully again. Erastus came over from Corinth because the Corinthian church is having problems. And they sent a delegation over, and Paul met the delegates and sent back the letter of 1 Corinthians. You remember that? That's all been taking place. So somehow, and then eventually he's going to send a second letter, a third letter, and then what we call 2 Corinthians. He's going to write that when he gets up to Macedonia. He writes 2 Corinthians, which is really his fourth letter over him. That's all in reference in those. You can see that in the text. But Erastus is a public works director from Corinth. His name comes up in the book of Romans. And they have found the Erastus inscription. You know this? The Erastus inscription. We've seen pictures of it. A pavement stone with his name in it. And it says, it's got his name, Erastus. And it says, this pavement was laid at the expense of Erastus, who bought it or basically paid for it in order to get the position of public works director. You understand what I'm saying? It says he's public works director in Romans, and there's an inscription they found that he laid this pavement for the city as a means of attaining this position, and it's an inscription that matches the text of Scripture. Anyway, that's Erastus. Now, Paul is planning on going up to Greece and into Macedonia. He's going to check in the Corinthian church. This is what 2 Corinthians is talking about, because he wants to go to Jerusalem. And that's where this money comes up. We haven't mentioned it yet. You haven't seen it in the text, but you can see it, and we're going to look at several verses. Paul is trying, his heart, as you know, is the Jewish people. He wants to get down there and make an impression. And you've got to think there's a lot of things going on in Paul's mind. And a lot of it is being driven by the Old Testament prophecies. Because Paul knows from his teacher Gamaliel that the Gentiles are going to come to the faith. We know Gamaliel taught this. It's in his writings. We heard him speak in the book of Acts. We see Paul going after the Gentiles. So Paul, he doesn't know that the church is going to be, and I don't want to be saying anything negative here, but Paul doesn't know how long it's going to be before Jesus Christ returns. As far as he knows, he is on fire in the end times. You know what I'm saying? He is taking the message to the Gentiles, because as soon as he gets it done, I mean, we're in the end time. I mean, again, he's not crazy end times, but he's not just thinking, well, 2,000 years later, there'll be an internet. It'll be a lot easier for Galen to just put it online, you know. He's not thinking that. He's thinking, go, go, go. This is the day. This is the hour. The Messiah was just here, like, you know, a few months ago, and went into heaven and says, go into all the world, and Paul's going. So he is on fire trying to get this thing the thing done. And he knows the Jews have to be in the game. So he wants to go to the Jews. He wants to preach to the Jews. He even says at the end of Romans, he says, I would be willing to be cursed if my people would come to the faith. What do I have to do? So he's not dumb. He thinks, I'm going to collect money from these Gentiles. I'm going to try to read you some verses if I can hurry up and get there. I'm going to collect this money, and they're going to take it down to the Jews, the Jewish believers. There's going to be a big presentation, and he's going to take these seven men, including Tychicus, Aristarchus, and some other guys, and they're mainly Gentiles. Now, Aristarchus is going to be a Jew, but these guys are Gentiles. They're going to come from Galatia. There's going to be the Ephesus representative. There's going to be the Corinthian Gentile. There's going to be, Aristarchus is going to come from Thessalonica. There's going to be some from Philippi. And all these men are going to come down with Paul. They're going to get on the boat. They're going to sail to Jerusalem. They're going to land here at Caesarea. They're going to go to Philip's house, the evangelist. They're going to meet his daughters. They all prophesy. Agabus is going to come out and tell Paul, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem. This is not a good idea, Paul. This is your idea. God doesn't want you in Jerusalem. Get back to the Gentiles. Yes, but I've brought this money. I've got my Gentile friends. We're going to show the Gentiles, or the Jews, how great this is. Come on, guys. This will work. I know this will work. Agabus says, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to. He takes the belt of Paul, ties his hands. He says, the owner of this belt will be bound like this, and you'll be put in prison, Paul. Paul says, I'm willing to die. And everybody begs Paul, please, Paul, you probably shouldn't go. The prophet just says, don't go. I don't care what the prophet says. This is a great idea. You ever been there? Okay, Paul is. Now, different people teach that different ways, like this was God ordained. But when you've got God's prophet coming up to meet you as you get off the boat saying, don't go. It won't work. I brought money. It will work. And you'll see, it doesn't work. Paul spends 5 years in prison, which is not really God's plan for his ministry. Again, that's one way of looking at it. Some people, that's a great thing. He's in prison. He can write all these great letters. He can write letters on a boat, too. He doesn't need to be in prison to write letters. Okay. Then they're going to go down, and I'm getting ahead of my story. They're going to go down, they're going to stay at meet James, and they're going to bring this money. Anyway, that's what's taking place right here. In verse 21, after this happened, I'm in Acts 19, verse 21, after this happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem. Passing through Macedonia and Achaia, after having been there, he said, I must visit Rome also. He sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, the city official of Corinth, to Macedonia, while he stayed in the province of Asia. Now, if we put this together, if I can just keep reading verses to you, he sends these guys up here to Macedonia to begin putting together a package of money that he's going to refer to later when he sends some brothers down to Corinth to get their package of money. This is going to say, if you bring your money together, then we come, we can just collect it and go. We don't need to hang around. Okay. Well, anyway, verse 23. About this time, while they're still in Ephesus, they haven't left yet. This is his plan, and Luke's writing this down. About this time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. That's the Christian faith. That's what they were calling it. They weren't calling it evangelical or, you know, whatever. A silversmith named Demetrius. Now, this is the same Demetrius is going to end up getting Paul in prison again and getting his head cut off by Nero later on. But he's not going to go away. Who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in no little business for the craftsmen. He called them together along with the workmen in the related trades. He says, men, okay, you know the story. We're losing money. Our business is falling apart because of these Christians, okay? So they made a big fuss. They go to verse 28. When they heard this, they were furious and began shouting, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians, or Diana, with same God. Soon the whole city was in an uproar, and the people seized Gaius and Aristarchus. You see? They seize Aristarchus from Thessalonica. He's seized. They grabbed him. Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia and rushed as one man into the theater. Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples would not let him. They would have killed him. Even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, sent him a message begging him not to venture into the theater. Look at that. Look at that line right there. Even some of the officials of the province of Asia, friends of Paul, sent him a message. Again, they didn't text him. They didn't email him. How did it get? In this uproar, there's a riot in Ephesus. They want Paul. He wants going out. Hey, what a great opportunity. Everybody's in one place. I can make a speech. It's like they're not here for a speech, Paul. And so everybody's telling Paul, don't go in the theater. But Paul, you know, he's blinded. In, you know, because his gifting, his calling. It's like, great people. I'll save them. It's like, no, Paul, they'll kill you. No. I'm sure this will work out. So even the officials are sending Paul messages. Verse 32, the assembly was in confusion. Some were shouting one. They didn't know what they were there for. Anyway, finally in verse 35, the clerk quieted the crowd, says, men of Ephesus, you can't do this. We're going to lose our rights in with the Romans. This is a very, we can't have it. Look at right in verse 39. If there is anything further you want to bring up, it must be settled in a legal assembly. And that's what was wrong here. This was a riot. They say, if you've got a problem, we've got a court system. We're Rome. We've got a system for this. We can take care of this. But you can't just start a riot. The Romans don't like riots. They'll come and have a problem. So again, that word assembly, just so you know, that word assembly is the word ecclesia. Translated in many other places, church. That's where we get our word church from. We are a church. The church, we are an assembly that's gathered together. So that's the original use of the word in the Greek language. Have a legal assembly. This was, for example, this riot was an illegal assembly. As it is, we are in danger of being charged with rioting. Okay. Now, notice they take Aristarchus, and Aristarchus was someone that they could grab, get a hold of, and they're probably going to get him up on stage, start asking him some questions, what's going on. But just notice, Aristarchus is in the middle of that. This is Tychicus' hometown. Tychicus is probably in the middle of that. Chapter 20. When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, said goodbye and set off for Macedonia. So he gathers the churches together and sets off for Macedonia. That's Philippi, Thessalonica. Now watch where he goes. He traveled through that area, Macedonia, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arriving in Greece. So he goes through all these, goes through Thessalonica, goes through Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, other places, and finally arrives in Greece, or Achaia, where Corinth is at. And that's, we're going to have to get to those books of Corinth and read some of these things, okay? Remember, we're going to go to Corinth and read some letters there. He traveled through that area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in Greece, where he stayed 3 months because the Jews made a plot against him just as he was about to sail for Syria. And this, again, this is Syria over here. He's going to come sail over here and go down into Jerusalem. There's a plot. You're going to figure out where he's at. They're going to assassinate him. So here's what takes place. He decided to go back up through Macedonia. All right. And he's got these 7 guys traveling with him because they're going to get on a boat and sail. They're collecting money. They're going to get on a boat and sail. We're going to read about the money here in just a minute. But instead of going this way, they're going to go back up through Macedonia. And you can see on your map, if you look on the map that I've given you, there's two arrows going different directions between Berea and Corinth, different dotted lines. They're now on the small, lighter dotted line going back up through Macedonia. And here's where these names pop up. These are the names of the delegates that are going to be sent from all these churches. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Phyrus, from Berea. Again, where they're from is very important because that's representing where the money came from. Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica. There's our man. Gaius from Derbe. Now, Derbe's way over here. That's over in Timothy's territory. Oh, we're right there. Derbe. Timothy also. And Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. Don't forget the name Trophimus because these guys are the ones that are going to get in trouble when Paul ends up in prison in Caesarea because he's going to go to Jerusalem and they're going to have a riot. And the reason they're going to have a riot is because of this guy right here or these Macedonians. These Jews see Paul. They know his message and they're going to see Paul walking the streets of Jerusalem with Gentiles from Macedonia, and they're going to jump to the conclusion, he took them into the Temple Mount. And when he goes up, they're going to start a riot, and that's where Paul's going to end up in Fort Antonia, and he's going to be under arrest. 3 years in Caesarea, 2 years in Rome because these guys went to Jerusalem with him. These Gentiles went to Jerusalem and the Jews had a fit. Okay, that's their names right there. Verse 5, these men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. So they take the money, they go down to Troas, sail back across to Troas, wait, and then Luke and Timothy and Paul are going to come a little bit later, or Luke and Paul are going to come later behind them so they don't get, Paul doesn't get killed. But we sailed from Philippi after the feast that goes on. Okay, verse 7. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. This is when Paul stops at Troas and comes down and meets in Ephesus. Tychicus is there. He's going to get on a ship and sail to Jerusalem. Now, before we go on to that Jerusalem trip right there, I want to go to this. Yeah, you're on the second map or the third missionary journey. Go to the bottom of that page. The bottom of the map, it says Gentile delegation and money for Jerusalem. I want to just read through these verses, please. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. And this is all this is about now, what I'm going to try to present to you, this is all about taking this journey, Paul planning this journey, and notice we are in 1 Corinthians. When did he write 1 Corinthians? When he was in Ephesus during this 3 years, early on, when that first the first problems arose. So he's over here. This is before the riot in the theaters. And he's already got a plan to collect money from these Gentiles and take it down and give it to the Jewish believers and say, look, the Gentiles have accepted your Messiah. This is just like what Isaiah was talking about. This is the gospel going to all the world, just like Isaiah and all the prophets were speaking about. Okay, here we go. We're in chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. In 1 Corinthians. Now, about the collection for God's people. And this is kind of the way 1 Corinthians has gone. It's just a chunks of issues. Now about spiritual gifts. Now about spirituals. Now about, the last chapter was now about the resurrection. Now about the collection for God's people. Who's God's people? He's talking about the Jews right here. And I do want to point out, notice what the collection is for. It's not Paul. Paul is not saying, this is fundraising week for me and my ministry. He's saying, we're raising money. How is Paul making money? We talked about it a little bit last week. Had a good question last week. How is Paul making money? He's working. We talked about, he even can come by the Ephesian church on his way by the Ephesian church and say, hey, listen, I worked with my hands and took care of myself. Everybody on my team. That means these seven guys right here. If you're on Paul's ministry team, you got to have a job. I mean, that doesn't mean they didn't accept offerings. They didn't accept money because Paul did accept money from Macedonians, but they took care of themselves. And this all this money, all this collecting of money right here is not about money for the ministry. Give us money so we can reach the world. No, Paul says we're taking money down because there's people, believing Jews in Jerusalem, that have accepted the Messiah and they've been cut off from society. Their families won't accept them. They've lost their jobs. They're now ostracized. They're on the outside. They're not being put on crosses and being burned at the stake, but they are suffering because they can't get a job. Do you believe this crazy stuff about this Jesus heretic? It's like, yeah, then go get another job. And they can't find any work. Plus, they had this great idea early on, right after the day of Pentecost. You know what they all did, right? They put all their money in one big, sold everything, put it in a big pool, and just gave it whatever they needed. They're like, great idea, Jesus coming back. It's like, it's been a long time. It's like, yeah, you really should have kept that property. You really should have kept that business. But they gave all their money. This is a great, we're just a loving community. They put all their money in one pool and just gave it away. This is great for about what? It's like setting off fireworks. Boom, 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 it's all gone. It's like, well, now what do you do? And now you couldn't get a job, and now they're... And then, of course, Agabus prophesied the famine that was coming, so they gave their money away, they got hit by a famine, and now they're being persecuted. Do you think they're poor? Yeah. And Paul says, we got to help these guys. So, now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. See right there? He's writing from Ephesus to the Corinthian church over here in Achaia, or in Greece. He says, do what the Galatians have done. Because I'm collecting. Remember, there's a guy, two guys, Timothy and another guy coming from Derby, going to help represent the money. On the first day of every week, that would be in our case, Sunday. And again, that would be their first day of work. Each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. He's talking to the Corinthians. Well, I'm going to come down, and when I get there, just hand me a bag of money. Then when I arrive, I'll give letters of introduction to the men you approve. In other words, you're going to give me a bag of money, and you're going to give me a man or two to help take that money to Jerusalem. You're going to have who's going to go with the money? So, I mean, he's all front with his money. And send them with your gift to Jerusalem. So I'm going to get some money. I'm going to get your men. And that's these seven guys, this delegation of seven guys. And we're going to go to Jerusalem. And he's planning this early on while he's in Ephesus. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they'll accompany me. If you think it's a good idea, I won't send them alone. I'll go with them too. Okay, that's chapter 16. Go to 2 Corinthians. And remember, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This has been developing. This is now again, and we've talked about it before, but this is the fourth letter Paul wrote. From the Corinthian church, there's a delegation came over and says, we've got all kinds of problems. Everybody's complaining. Paul writes him a letter, 1 Corinthians, to kind of choose them out, sends them straight, addresses some issues. We just read that. Then, as you know, he ends up having to take a trip back over. He sends Timothy over with 1 Corinthians. It doesn't work out. Timothy comes back. So Paul writes a heated letter, a second letter, kind of chews them out. He comes across and visits them, comes back, writes a third letter that we refer to. And now he has left, just like he said in Ephesus, when we were reading in Acts, he's going to leave Ephesus, go up to Macedonia, and then come down to Greece. He has now left Ephesus, has come up to Macedonia. He's coming down to see how Titus has done. Because Timothy came back crying. Timothy came back from the Corinthian church crying. It's like, I can't. They won't listen. So Paul sends Titus. And he doesn't know. Seriously, if you read in 2 Corinthians, he's afraid. He says, I was worried about Titus. I thought you killed him, maybe. I don't know. Because he has no contact with him. So he's coming up. He's coming down to check on Titus. And what ends up happening when he gets to Macedonia, Titus is on his way back. And they meet each other at Applebee's, you know, or something. It's like, Titus, Paul. Wow, because they don't have text messaging. And so they met each other there, and so he said, wow, how's it, what happened? Did you just give up? Taken care of. Everything's back on track. It's like, and that's what 2 Corinthians, you see Paul kind of rejoicing. It's like, I'm so glad. He said, I really felt bad about sending you that second letter, but now that you've repented, oh, good, they came back in line. Okay, so we're now in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, and we're looking in verse 16. Those are some weird numbers there. 16 to 9. Yeah, but what? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Oh, got it. Thank you. I typed it correctly, didn't I? Okay. Okay, here we go. Now remember, he's right up here in Macedonia, and Titus has just met him. So here we go. I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. He's going to come back. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he is chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do it right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. So he's up here, and now he says, I asked Titus, will you go back? Titus says, I'll go back. And they're sending with him the brother. And this brother here is he's known in all the churches. He's going to be referred to later as being famous for preaching the gospel. And we don't know who this is. The guess is it's Luke. That Luke and Titus are coming back down here. And it would be interesting because, well, let's read this again. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches. Now that's interesting because Luke is the one who's going to write the book of Luke. He's the one writing the book of Acts. And he's running around all these churches asking information. You know, he's serious about it. He's acting like a historian. He writes his books like a historian, not just, you know, random collections of information. And so all the churches praise him. And what is more, he was chosen by the churches. Now when Paul says sent some men aside, Luke was one of them and says, we want Luke to go with the money. And then he explains how we want to have everything, you know, up front. Okay. Verse 22. In addition, besides Luke, Titus and maybe Luke, in addition, we are sending with them our brother who has also proved to us in many ways that he is zealous and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, He is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches. See that? I'm referring to this number 7. These guys that are, we're going to have them listed in chapter 20 of Acts. But right now they're sending down. He says, I'm sending these guys down. They're coming from Derbe. They're coming from Macedonia. They're coming from Ephesus. These are the brothers that have been chosen by all the other churches. They've got money from their churches, and we're going to Jerusalem. Now, you better get ready. Now watch what he says here. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. Is that interesting or what? He said, I've been bragging about you guys. I've been saying, man, you guys are an outstanding church, that you guys take this whole thing very serious. Now, I'm sending down some representatives from all the other churches, and they've got money bags, and we're going to Jerusalem. And I've told them about how much money you're collecting, and I've told them about how enthusiastic you are. And I'm just giving you a heads up. I'm just giving you a heads up. They're going to be coming in a couple weeks. You might want to get ready. I mean, he's kind of prepping the crowd. Talk about prepping a crowd for an offering. Verse 9. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints. What's the service to the saints? Taking money to the poor Jews from the Gentile churches. It's going to be a great testimony for Paul to have to walk in with Gentiles holding money. It's almost like he's trying to fulfill Old Testament prophecy where the Gentiles will bring their treasures to Jerusalem. It's like, oh, he's like working. He's working. You talk about fulfilling prophecy. He might be. I'm not taking Paul down at all. But he's thinking this is what he's doing. For I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians. I've been telling them how much you want to get involved in this building campaign, whatever. Telling them that since last year, you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. In other words, I've used the same play on them. I've been telling them how excited you are, and I don't want them to be embarrassed. So they said, well, we'll outgive the Corinthians. So they've all got money, and now I've been telling them that they're trying to beat you, but now you've got to try to beat them. But I am sending the brothers, Titus, Luke, and possibly a third guy, plus the delegation, in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. He says, these guys are coming down to kind of give you a warning, and then I'm going to bring in the delegates. And we're going to come down and we're going to walk in, and if you're not ready, it's going to be really embarrassing because they're going to come in with all the leaders from the churches with their bags of money ready to go to Jerusalem with me. And you're like, well, we haven't really got started yet. No one can get, we haven't got our flyers printed yet. So he says, if the Macedonians come down with me and you haven't paid attention to Luke and the guys that came ahead gave you the warning, you'll be embarrassed. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. You filled out your pledge card. We're here to collect. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Now, it sounds kind of grudging to me, but nonetheless. Okay, then we go to 9:12. Jump down to 9:12. I'm sorry. I find this stuff amazing. Hope you enjoy this. Verse 12. This service, verses 6 to 11, there's some stuff that we can use as far as our own application. There's the doctrine of giving, giving and receiving. There's some stuff, that's the stuff you hear preached in churches right there, right before offering, right? That's the meat of our verses right here. But we're going to go back on to verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. You're not just giving to the Jews, but this is like a thank offering. You're going to use this as a thank offering to God because of the service by which you have proved yourselves. Men will praise God. So number one, if you want to number these, you can. But number one, you're supplying the needs of God's people. Number two, you're expressing thanks to God with your giving. And number three, besides you proving your obedience, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. When we come down there and say, this came from people who believe Jesus is Lord, they're going to now rejoice and praise Jesus and result in their praising the Lord. And number verse 14, the fourth point, and in their prayers for you in their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. So number four is they'll pray for you. Number one, you're supplying needs for the poor. Two, you're expressing thanks to God. Three, men are going to praise God because of what you did for them. And four, they're going to pray for you. So, if you want someone to pray for you, give them money and they'll pray for you. But anyway, that's what Paul, those are the four bullet points on the flyer that they're handing out in the church on why you should give money to this Corinthian gift to go to Jerusalem. Now, I'm not trying to be, you know, belittle this, but I mean, that's what Paul's saying. I'm trying to just catch it up to modern times. Verse 10, chapter 10, not chapter 10, verse 15. Notice, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, here's the question. What is his indescribable gift? Right away, you want to say, well, it must be Jesus. Jesus is the indescribable gift. And that could be, but in context, he's probably referring to what? This money that they're collecting. It's going to be a great, God is going to provide, from all these churches, going to provide an indescribable gift. Go to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. And then we got to see him deliver this gift. Romans 15, verse 24. Now, if you're still with me, before Paul leaves Corinth, during his second missionary trip, he's going to write a letter to the Romans and says, I want to come visit you. In fact, you can see this. I'm in Romans chapter 15. I'm going to begin in verse 23. So Paul now is in Corinth, writing west to the church of Rome. He's never been there. The church is established. We know that. It was established before Peter got there. It was established before Paul got there. It appears the church of Rome was established from the day of Pentecost and other Jews going back to their synagogues with the message and the synagogues splitting. Because that is why Aquila and Priscilla, and we find it in other places in history, the Jews were kicked out. All the Jews were kicked out. They were warned, stop rioting. They continued, and then they said, you can't meet any longer. They continued to have riots. So finally, the emperor says, get out. No Jews can be in Rome at all. And that's why Aquila and Priscilla ended up in Corinth. And so the church apparently started not by Paul, not by Peter, not by an apostle. The Roman church was up and running simply because of the message reaching the synagogues and the synagogues going and making a decision and splitting. And finally, they just had to kick them out. And so that's, now he's writing. So it's amazing when you think about this. This letter to the Romans is a very advanced letter, obviously. And what it is Paul writing to them saying, I would like to speak in your church. And he basically writes down all of his doctrine. This is what I believe. This is what I'll preach. This is how I view things. And then chapter 6, look at chapter 16. It's the largest of say hello to chapters. Usually there's two or three people or four or five people. But here he's got an entire chapter of people. He's trying to make, he is networking. He is networking in this book of Romans. And he wants to make contact with the Roman church. He wants to preach it. So now, chapter 15, verse 23. But now that there's no more place for me to work in these regions. Is that an amazing statement? Galatia, Asia. He says, I've lit this place up. I've lit up Galatia. I've lit up Asia. I've lit up Macedonia. I've lit up Greece. I mean, I've gone back to Jerusalem. Since there's no place left for me to go, I want to come see you. He says, now that there's no place for me to work in these regions, and since I've been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. Now, we have no record of Paul going to Spain, except this reference. There's a time in his ministry he could have made it, and there's some records in church history as far as his story, like Eusebius talking about when Paul came back from Spain. It appears, if we're going to make a speculation, I would say he went and hit a dead end. I mean, it appears there's nothing happened. He just came back, maybe defeated. You know what I'm saying? But I think he went. But he says, I plan to do so, to visit you, when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there. Now he is asking for ministry money. He says, I'm going to come to you, I'm going to take up an offering, and you're going to pay my fare to get me to Spain after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Verse 25. Now, however, that's his plans after this Jerusalem trip. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. Now, what's he doing? He's talking about this money. He says, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in service to the saints there, but when I'm done there, I'm coming to your house. I'm in service to the... Verse 26, for Macedonia and Achaia, again, Philippi and Thessalonica, Corinth, Centuria, were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Now, a contribution just sounds like, well, yeah, here's a few bucks. I mean, it's probably into the thousands of dollars. I mean, it's probably an incredible amount of money. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. Look at this line. They were pleased to do it for the Jews, and indeed they owe it to the Jews. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessing, and that's this whole, the Jewish Messiah, the gospel message, it's all from the Jews. We're sharing, if you Gentiles are sharing in the spiritual blessing, they owe it to the Jews, especially the poor Jews back in Jerusalem who are paying the price, to share with them their material blessing. They gave you this blessing here, let's go back and help them out. So after I've completed this task of going to Jerusalem with this money and have made sure that they have received this fruit, cash, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessings of Christ. And I urge you, brothers, on and on like this. Okay, go back to Acts. Okay, I'm going to ask if there's any questions. Any questions? Any thoughts? Is this tying together? Is this making sense? Now, yeah, go back to Acts. Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, again, we're just seeing these guys' names. Acts chapter 20, verse 4, I'm just going to point out, there's those gentlemen's names, the delegates, along with Luke and some other people that aren't mentioned there. These are the guys that are going to get on a boat and they're sailing to Jerusalem. So when Paul comes in, and you if you look in chapter 20, verse 17, now, this is when Paul's talking. I'd like to read this to you, too, but I'm not going to. This is when he talks to the Ephesian leaders. After having been with them for 3 years, he now explains to them, says, this is what I did. This is what I taught you. This is how I want you to continue. Watch the church. But then he warns them, there's going to be people that are going to come in verse 29. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise from your own number. Even from this group right here, this group that he's called together there outside of the city of Ephesus, men are going to arise that will distort the truth. They'll change my message. They'll change the gospel in order to draw away disciples after them. They're going to try to draw people away. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning you, each of you, night and day and with tears. Okay, now, chapter 21. He's sailed by Ephesus. Tychicus is with him. Aristarchus is with him. And they're on their way to Jerusalem. And if you want to, you can turn. Well, no, we're still on the same map. My goodness. Come on, Galen. Okay. Chapter 21, verse 1. We've got about, I'm going to quit in about 5 minutes. Then we'll go. Hope we can get out of here. After we had torn ourselves away from them, Ephesus, we put out to the sea and sailed straight. It gives you all the sailing list, which is really nice that Luke records that, makes it sound real, historical, you know. We landed at Tyre in verse 3, finding the disciples there, a church there in Tyre, Phoenicia. Isn't that interesting? A church in Tyre. The Phoenician woman. Think of the Phoenician woman, you know, the dog. He called her a dog. She says, heal my daughter. He said, I only give the bread to the children. She goes, well, the children, you know, I'll eat the bread the children throw off the table. Give me the children's crumbs. Jesus healed the dog. Well, that's Tyre. That's Phoenicia. That might be part of the way that got started. Chapter verse 4. Finding the disciples there, we stayed with them for 7 days in Tyre. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul, I want you to just notice this, make a decision, or just at least be aware of it. They're in Tyre. You can see on the map, they're in Tyre. They're not in Caesarea, they're in Tyre. They're in Phoenician territory at a Christian church. And the Spirit, through the Spirit, they began to prophesy to Paul, urging Paul not to go to Jerusalem. So Paul lands here, got a great idea. We've got a message from the Lord. Don't go. It's not a good idea. That's in Tyre. He hasn't even met the prophet yet. But when our time was up, we left and continued on our way, completely disregarding the spiritual warning. Now, you don't have to read it this way. Some people read it a different way about how Paul's bold and going to do it anyhow. I don't know. I'm just saying this is what the text says. Luke is writing this. All the disciples and their wives and children accompanied us out of the city. So the church of Tyre walks into the city gates and waves goodbye. There on the beach, we knelt to pray. After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship and they returned home. We continued on our voyage from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, where we were greeted by the brothers, the church of Ptolemais, and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip, the evangelist. Remember Philip? He's the one that the Ethiopian eunuch was taken up. And, you know, he was, in a sense, raptured and came down. He made his way to Caesarea and never left. Now, that's a great story. We're in chapter 21, chapter 21 of Acts, verse 7 and 8. When Philip remember the story of Philip. He's a great evangelist. Goes up to Samaria, goes down to Ethiopia, on the way down to Ethiopia. And then the Spirit drops him off, and he makes it as to Azotus, and he makes his way to Caesarea. And the next time you hear Philip, he hasn't left Caesarea. He's got four daughters. He's got a house. He's leading a church. It's like the great evangelist who's doing all these. He settled down. I mean, it's like he went nowhere. Not that he didn't do anything important, but it's like just kind of interesting. The great evangelist, he's now a father of four daughters. Anyway, they stayed in the house of Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. It doesn't tell us what they prophesied. Verse 10, after we'd been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, says the Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. Now, that's called prophesying, because that's exactly what happened. It's like the Jews took Paul, they bound him and gave him to the Gentiles when he got to Jerusalem. I mean, that's called prophesying. It's not like, I don't know. You ever hear people prophesy? It's like, I suppose kind of it happened like that. This is Agabus prophesying. Nailed it. Verse 12. When they had heard this, we and the people pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I'm not only willing to be bound, but also willing to die in Jerusalem for the Lord Jesus Christ. When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and says, the Lord's will be done. After this, we got ready, went down, and now they went to Jerusalem. Verse 16, some of the disciples from Caesarea accompanied us and brought us to the home of, here's a guy, Nansen. How would you say that, Marilyn? Manson? Nansen? Okay. Where we would say, he's a man, he's from Cyprus, just like, from Cyprus here, just like Joseph, Barnabas was. And he's got, apparently he's a wealthy person, he's got a nice house there. This whole group stays in his house. Verse 17. Now remember, Tychicus, Aristarchus are all with him during all these things. They've been with him from that riot. They've been with him during this whole time. They're coming on this great journey. These guys are going to be on the boat with him. I've got to wrap this up. Verse 17, when we arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers received us warmly. That would be the church. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James. That's the head of the church, the pastor. And all the elders. A lot of these guys knew Jesus personally. James was his brother. All the elders were present. Paul greeted. Now, here's where Paul is going to have the big handoff. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. This is what's taking place. And standing around him was not just the fruit of the fruit of the money, but the fruit of the Gentiles. These are Gentile believers that have come to the Jewish Messiah, and they've come down. Verse 20, when they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to Paul, you see, brothers, how many thousands of Jews have believed. Now, what takes place right here, they say, now, Paul, they don't understand you here in Jerusalem. They think you're a heretic. But if you will do this thing, if you'll take a vow, we've got some other guys over here that we've got prepared. Everybody's got a game, you see. These guys have taken a vow. If you'll take these four Jews with you up on the Temple Mount and you'll pay their fee for the offering, for the sacrifice, pay their vow, then all the Jews go, oh, Paul's not that bad. He's just like one of us. And then to kind of help cover all this up, maybe we can make some progress with the Jewish people. So Paul says, okay, I'll go up and play like I'm taking a vow and pay. Remember, he got his hair cut in Centuria before he left for this very vow. Well, then in chapter 21, verse 27, you see what takes place. There's a riot. And you can see right here, look in verse 28. Shouting, men of Israel, help us. This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against our people and our law and this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple area and defiled this holy place. They previously had seen Trophimus, that's Tychicus's friend, the Ephesian in the city with Paul, and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple area. So Tychicus is there also, but they also see this guy. And because those Gentiles were with him, they assume this, they start a riot, and he can read the rest. Paul ends up in prison and in Caesarea for 3 years. I'm going to wrap this up. I'm looking at the map that says Paul, the years 57 to 62. On this prison trip right here, this map now is the prison sailing. They're sailing. Paul's sailing to Rome. You know, he's had shipwrecked and everything. When he gets to Rome, we know biblically that Aristarchus is on the boat with him. It says so. We assume Tychicus is on the boat with him. These guys could have got off at Crete somewhere and went back up to Asia or went back home. But we know that when he lands in Rome, Tychicus, as we end in 62 A.D. We just finished the book of Colossians. That's where Tychicus is said. And this is why we did this whole thing. Now they're in Rome. Paul's writing the letter to the Colossians, and he sends the letter with Tychicus. And remember, this is where we were last week. Tychicus, you can see the little light gray line going over to Ephesus and Colossae. Tychicus is told four things. It includes encourage the people. He says, Tychicus is going to tell you everything about my situation and about what's going on. Tychicus is going to come. He's going to be teaching. He's going to be explaining what Paul's ministry is. He's going to be encouraging the people. And that is where he goes over to Colossae. As you read through this rest of this, when Paul gets out of prison, turn the next page, Paul gets out of prison. We don't know where he goes. When he gets out of Roman prison, the book of Acts has closed. We don't know where he went. He could have gone these places. A good guess is he would have gone back through those churches. A good guess, he would have come back over and gone and checked on all of his churches. That would be typical. Or what did he say he was going to do when he got to Rome? And when he got to Rome, the church did greet him. We read that in Acts. He wanted to go where? To Spain. So he could have gone west of Spain, but sometime between getting out, what we do know is he got out of prison, and we do know that he was on Crete with Titus right around 66 A.D. And that's when he dropped, you can read Titus chapter 1, verse 5. He drops Titus off on Crete and goes to Corinth, writes the letter of Titus back to him, and says, meet me in Neapolis. And when he is in Corinth, that's where he says, I'm going to send Tychicus or Artemas down to you in Crete. So we know Tychicus is with him there. Tychicus could have, it is possible, Tychicus could have come all the way up here. He was with him in Rome during that first imprisonment, and he goes to Colossae. Somehow he catches up with Paul again, because now he's with him again in Neapolis. He could have gone to Spain with him. He could have met him when he came back. And then Paul goes over. He's apparently going to leave Neapolis, go up to Philippi. He's going to end up at Troas, and that's in 2 Timothy. He's going to end up in Troas, and it appears that's where he's arrested, because he says, I left my books, my parchments, and my scrolls, my animal skin, Old Testament documents, and my papyri, my New Testament letters, and letters I've received from my friends. I left them in Troas with my coat. So, Timothy, would you get those? It's cold here in the prison cell. His first imprisonment, he was in under house arrest. People could come and visit him. He was rented his own apartment. This time, he's in a dungeon. He's chained. He's getting his head cut off. Nero has gone crazy, and he's going to be one of the martyrs in Nero's persecution. And he tells that in 2 Timothy, and when he says, I've sent, Tychicus has been sent to Ephesus, so Timothy, you're free to come see me in prison. So, yeah, I mean, I guess what I'm just trying to say, Tychicus, you see him? He's everywhere on this map. He was in Jerusalem. He was collecting money. He was one of the delegates. He was in Ephesus during the riots. He was sent to Crete. He was sent to Ephesus. He was in prison both times with Paul, and we don't even know his name. You know what I'm saying? I mean, 2 weeks ago, I didn't know. I mean, bump into his name, but this guy is an amazing individual. Then you get our Aristarchus right there. I'm done. Next week we start Philemon, another letter written from the Roman prison, carried by Tychicus along with Ephesus, because you can see in Ephesus, Tychicus also is referred to in the book of Ephesus. He carries the book of Ephesus. Thank you for your patience. I've been wanting to review this and get this done, so now we can move on. Thank you for your patience, and please drive safely. I will pray, and we're dismissed. Father, we do thank you again for your truth. We thank you for this opportunity to see these individuals and the way they lived their lives and fulfilled their ministries. We ask again that you'd continue to lead and guide each one of us, and I do appreciate the time these people have invested here this evening, and ask that you'd reward them for the time they've spent listening to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being here.